Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Coming to you this morning from the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce radio studios, located in the lower level of our building at 101 Pier Street. 101 Pier Street, right next to the Tyson Event Center parking lot, the Long Lines Rec Center parking lot, is our home. And on behalf of our producer this morning, Mr. Justin Barker, we'd like to thank our program sponsor, Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. This morning, I'm pleased to have someone who is no stranger to our community and no stranger to the Grow Siouxland radio program. We have Mr. Ryan Haskins. Ryan has now been with the Sioux City Symphony as their leader for 14 years. Did I get that right, Ryan?
I think so.
Welcome back, and we're thrilled to have you in Siouxland this weekend, and you have made some major announcements. It was a very busy couple of weeks for you, because not only did you have the culmination of the 107th season with Aladdin at the Orpheum, but a few days prior, you announced the 108th season, and we're going to cover both of those in today's program. Before we get there, welcome back to Grow Siouxland.
Great to be here, Chris. Always a pleasure to visit with you.
And we're thrilled to have you back in the States. I know that your home is north of the border. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, but our program today is going to be focused on a summary of the 107th season and kind of a kickoff for the 108th, which was announced a couple of weeks back, and really another spectacular program. And I guess at the end of the day, we have you and others to thank for that, and we're so grateful. But before we get into the 107th and the 108th seasons, I want to reintroduce you to our listening audience. Ryan, tell us your official title after 14 years with the Sioux City Symphony.
Well, I'm music director of the symphony, which essentially means that all art, all programming is my deal.
Well, and you wear a lot of hats as the music director, because I may not get this title exactly right, but you're also the symphony's conductor.
Yes. So mainly most music directors conduct. I've been conducting, well, as you've said, for 14 years, but what most people don't see is all the work behind the scenes. That's pretty normal for orchestras, because you come to the Orpheum, you see us play, that's 2 hours or whatever, and done. But there's so much more work on the musician's part, for rehearsals, and for my job to, for auditions, for fundraisers, for meeting with board members. It's a lot of additional work to make everything flow and get to the point where an audience can sit down in those red velvet seats and enjoy an incredible performance.
And that we do. And I want to, before we get too deep into our conversation, compliment you and your team over the last decade and a half, because I think that you have led a revitalization and a resurgence, and you have done so not only with quality classic masterpieces and composers of Beethoven and Mozart and Bach and Haydn and the list goes on, but you've introduced new elements, which include film and rock and roll and contemporary music, which I think has, in a very profoundly positive way, diversified your audience.
Well, that's the key to our success. I really think when I first came here, even before those 14 years from my audition, part of it was to impress upon the orchestra and the board of directors why I'm the dude. But the other part for me was an analyzation of the community and the conversations that I had just around that, even when I didn't have the job, to sort of take a temperature of where we were here. And very quickly, I realized that while those, it was before 100 years, but while those many historic years before me were important, of course, they brought us to where we were at that point, there needed to be some evolution to involve the community more and to bring in new people, new fans, new listeners to the orchestra. And that's, a diversification of our audience, age grouping, just different backgrounds, more kids, all of these elements. that feed into the success of any great orchestra. And we also rely on the success of the city, too. I mean, we have talked about that many times. You know, a healthy orchestra doesn't happen without a healthy city. And that goes directly to the community that supports the Sioux City Symphony for now what will be 108 years, many of which are families, but we're getting new people involved, new businesses, young business owners, because they see the value of what the orchestra does for this community. You know, it has to be a great place to work, live, and play. And that's, I know, important to the chamber as well.
Well, and the chamber and the initiative have focused new energy on quality of life. And not only is the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra an important quality of life amenity, an important arts and cultural amenity, but the Orpheum Theater is as well. And the Sioux City Symphony supports the Orpheum Theater as one of their top clients. And all of those things fit together. It's so critically important to what we present as a community. And quite honestly, Ryan, I got to tip my cap to you and your team. This is a quality symphony orchestra in a community of any size. It is particularly impressive for a community of Siouxland size to have the quality of music director that you are and represent, the quality and caliber of musicians, the quality of the guests that come and are featured and play with your musicians. Really is a treat and a blessing for our community. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM. Our guest today is Mr. Ryan Haskins. Ryan serves as the music director for the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, now in his 14th season, coming upon his 15th. And Ryan, before we go any further, I do want to reintroduce you, as I said a moment ago. You're originally from Canada.
No, I'm originally from Ohio, but live in Canada.
But live in now. Canada, yeah. My bad.
No, it's okay.
And I lost that in our pre-conversation about you being a hockey referee.
Well, yeah.
And that tied me to Canada.
We were a hockey family. You know, as kids, we all did sports. We all did music. So whether my youngest brother would allow me to admit it for him, that his profession is hockey. He also was a stellar, you know, violinist at age 8. So, and you know, my middle brother, who's working on a farm now, ex Army Ranger, you know, we're very diverse brothers, but he also listens to Tchaikovsky in the combine. So, I mean, it's, we all appreciate each other's value and our upbringing. And we credit our parents, of course, for that.
That is fascinating. Three boys in the family.
That's right.
Are you the oldest?
I am.
So you're the oldest, and your passion and your profession and your vocation is music.
It is, yeah.
And your next youngest brother is a farmer who is formerly an Army Ranger.
Yeah, it gets more wild because he's actually an ag pilot now. So he's a crop duster. So he's the acrobat in the skies with those big yellow planes.
Absolutely.
You know, flying under the electrical wires. So in a way, we're all sort of extreme in our professions.
It's amazing. And then your youngest brother, he's a hockey coach.
Yeah, I mean, he played, you know, he was on the Clark Cup team here at age 15. He left home when he was 14, moved to Phoenix, Arizona, as every 14-year-old does. Not really.
So wait a minute. As a 15-year-old kid, he was a Sioux City Musketeer?
Yeah, he was on the Clark Cup champion team.
I had no idea.
Yep.
This is why we have Grow Siouxland and we get to know our guests because I didn't know any of these things.
Tyler actually was here before I was. Tyler knew Sioux City before I did.
That's fascinating. And so your folks spent time here watching him play, presumably.
I came here. I came to the auditorium.
Okay.
And the coach was Dave.
Siciliano.
Yep, Siciliano. Little did I know when we came to see a hockey game that I eventually would end up here doing what I'm doing now.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And hello to all of your family.
Thank you.
And we are grateful for your brother's service in the armed forces.
Thank you.
And we're grateful to have you in this community leading our symphony orchestra. Ryan, it's always a pleasure to have you back in studio. You know, we have a couple of minutes left in the first half of the program. Your 107th season was a smashing success.
Yeah, I mean, it's become cliche that, you know, we sort of champion each year as we go, and how can we top where we've been. But, you know, I dream in programs. I mean, that literally, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and jot down concepts and ideas. They may not get used for 10 years, but this is part of my job. It's part of, you know, as you spoke about passion, that's just what, you know, pumps through my blood all the time. But that variety, that key to variety is this season has been an incredible offering of variety from, you know, Mahler, from, you know, almost 275 people on stage at one point, to perform probably the greatest powerhouse symphonic work, the Second Symphony of Mahler, with collection of choirs from all over the region. And, you know, we had to build out, the stage didn't fit that many people. We had to build stage for that performance. From that to, you know, we had some amazing experiences on stage through our Christmas programming. And of course, we just had our Aladdin concert. The film and orchestra series has continued to bring in a variety of new people and excited people that may not cross over directly into Beethoven. But I'll tell you, once people come through those doors at the Orpheum, it's a really easy sell for us to experience, whether they're an avid classical music fan, whether they're a farmer, whether they've lived here their entire life and never even stepped foot in the Orpheum. We still meet people like that. And those experiences and that feedback gives us the fuel to keep going and the energy, because that's really the reward in the end, to see a young child come to the Orpheum in our education concerts for the very first time and go home and tell their parents who grew up here, who've never been to the Orpheum Theater. You have a third grader telling their parents about what their experience was with the orchestra and the Orpheum Theater. That's powerful. And being able to witness that is just a really magical experience. And that's what we live for.
Well, and you do a fantastic job. And Ryan, after a short commercial break, we're going to talk specifically about a couple of the highlights of the 107th season. One in particular for me, John Osborne and his wife, who were just spectacular. And we're going to then transition into talking about what you've just revealed for the 108th season. You're listening to Grow Sioux Land. My name is Chris McGowan. I'm your host. Our guest today is Ryan Haskins, the music director for the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, and we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. NAI United, the largest and highest producing commercial real estate firm in Siouxland. Speak with Bo Bronger, Nick Manson, Aaron Rooney, Nate Connolly, or Chris Bogenried. NAI United has the answers to your questions for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you today. Go to NAIUnited.com and learn more. NAI United, uniquely positioned to serve your needs.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, serving as your host this morning as we come to you from the Chamber of Commerce building located at 101 Pierce Street. Our guest this morning, no stranger to the airwaves, Mr. Ryan Haskins, who serves as the music director and also the conductor and wears many other hats. I'm learning that he's also responsible for the programming that we so enjoy at the Orpheum Theater on symphony concert nights. And Ryan, just before the break, we teased a little bit about one of my favorite performances this past season. John Osborne came back, sang opera. It's something we've been waiting for since pre-COVID. It was canceled in 2020 as we look forward to it. 3 years later, we actually accomplished that. I have to tell you, my personal impression of John and his wife, I want to make sure I pronounce her name right. Is it Lynette?
Lynette. Tapia.
Tapia. Mm-hmm. They were magnificent, and I think the crowd really appreciated what you brought back to our hometown community, but the accompaniment was equally impressive.
Yeah, it was a real tour de force for us. You know, there are always demands for specific programs, but opera is extremely challenging, particularly when you have such a variety of opera, because each one of those arias or selections brings its own challenges, because you're essentially swimming through time. So a work performed, or rather composed in, you know, the 1600s is performed differently than a work that was written in the 1800s. And not to nerd out and why, but it's true. You'll just have to trust me on that. But down to, you know, the different bowing, the different dynamics, the different approach, the different vibrato that a violinist might use, all those details flex and bend when you're swimming through time as music was created. So that was the challenge. That was one of the challenges for the orchestra. And then, you know, accompanying singers is always so relevant to the real time portion of a concert. So, you know, we can rehearse till we're blue in the face, but always with rehearsal, you rehearse the extremes so you know what could happen. You don't ever know what will happen in live performance. And John and Lynette have an amazing ability to communicate from stage. They're fantastic performers. And thank God we were able to reschedule them, because it's not easy with John's schedule.
Well, and John, a Sioux City Healing graduate, a former conference wrestling champion in high school, who went on to become, and I want you to tell us just how big a name he is in opera, because I'm sure that some people don't fully appreciate how significant a singer he is.
The wonderful thing about this concert was I was able to meet so many people, and if I had to guess, every fifth person that I met at that concert was from Helan or from his class or from the family. And they shared stories about when he was even in high school, how talented he was. From Sioux City, he went on to college competitions, essentially launched into this world-renowned career. He perhaps isn't the... he has a significantly heavy reputation in Europe. And I mean, if you want to go to the critics, you go to Europe, particularly some of these Italian opera houses. And that's what he's performing. I mean, he's performing Italian opera, this bel canto sort of light dramatic type of opera in houses where the music was written, with an audience who is very critical
and very sophisticated.
Oh, yeah, to the point where if they don't like it, they boo. I mean, that's how extreme it is over there. And they love him. And he does it so well. So, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. There are people in the world where you call specific operas or specific composers, and John is in the top, you know, five of those people in the world who can demonstrate the incredible the notes and the phrases and the music from these specific composers.
And we're so proud to call John Osborne one of our own. We were so thrilled to have he and his wife Lynette Tapia here for the performance. I believe in the month of, was that February?
That was March.
March.
Yeah.
And what a tremendous job! But Ryan, you've done a great job giving a tip of the cap to the hometown community. Cellist Stephanie March was featured in one of the concerts this year. And as you close the season with your performance accompanying Aladdin, Ron Clements, the very talented Disney animator and director, came home to be part of that as well. I so appreciate the hometown flavor that you give the symphony. Great job with season 107, but let's talk about what's on the horizon for the 108th season.
We're thrilled about what we look to the future, and these programs are no different from what we've talked about. We open with a flash and a bang. We bring back the next installment of Star Wars, and we're actually going to be at the Tyson. We were at the Tyson for Harry Potter, and it was remarkable, the ability to bring in so many people. And the orchestra sounded dang good there. I was worried about it.
They did. I was there. Really well. I went to Harry Potter. It's the first Harry Potter I'd seen or read or had any familiarity with. And I think people are amazed at how good our symphony is at playing those movie scores in perfect unison with the film. It is a remarkable experience. Folks, get your tickets early for this, because this is something you do not want to miss.
Yeah, that's the Empire Strikes Back opening night at the Tyson. Then we move into October. We've had Cirque de la Symphonie before. This is an entire Halloween program, so if you've ever wanted to hear some amazing music, classical but very popular classical music, accompanied by people who are swinging over you in the Orpheum, juggling, contortions, strongmen. I mean, it is pure entertainment. And some of these people are, you know, Olympians, some of the top performers from Cirque du Soleil. So it's always a very popular program, and it's going to be a lot of fun. From there, we move into November for a classical program of Amy Beach, who is the first American woman to write a symphony and have it performed by an orchestra. historic work. We'd pair that up with a couple of musicians from Toronto for the concerto, the Brahms Double Concerto, which is also really exciting for us. In December, we offer a holiday brass percussion and featuring the Maidu Wurlitzer, which is also a keystone to what we are here, especially the Orpheum Theater. Can't do better than a brass program during the holiday season, so we look forward to that one as well. In February, we have another program featuring the First Symphony of Elgar. We're going to feature our principal oboist. He's actually going to write a concerto and perform it. So world premiere performance, really thrilling, an opportunity for us to feature one of our own and to demonstrate the uber talents that our musicians have. People are no stranger to that, but it's great to bring them to the front. In March, we're going to offer a concert along the lines of Queen, we did a couple of years ago, with great success. We're going to bring the music of Led Zeppelin, which is going to be another rock show, blow the roof off of the Orpheum, stellar singers and guitarists and the band, and the charts are fantastic. It's a lot of fun to play these shows, and we look forward to March. The season finale in April, we bring the world-renowned violinist Sarah Cheng to perform the Bruch Violin Concerto. She's coming from Germany a couple days before and off to Tokyo the day after this performance. We get the top here, and to be able to feature her on that program will be stellar. We're doing one add-on concert this season back in November, the weekend of Thanksgiving. We're going to bring the Nutcracker performance, a full company of 30-plus dancers, choreographers, a full semi-truck of scenery, lights, and everything, and the entire symphony will play the full score of the Nutcracker, which hasn't been done here for a long time. Another opportunity to feature our wonderful musicians and offer something truly unique here at the Orpheum Theater.
And Ryan, I sincerely wish that we had more time. Unfortunately, this half hour expires so quickly, but what a jam-packed 108th season. Led Zeppelin, I think in the same vein as you have had Queen and ABBA in the last couple of years, smashing successes. The Nutcracker goes without saying. I'm excited for it, and I'm so grateful to have you continue to support our community and serve our community in the important role that you play.
Well, thank you for that. And as always, we are so appreciative of the community, of what you do, Chris, of the Chamber of Commerce, TSI, and everyone involved here to making this city a spectacular place to live. I know that we are so thankful for our continued donors and supporters and just fans of the symphony. And we continue to move mountains with our programming and our energy. And that, again, is no mistake. It's because of what this community does for us and the energy and the passion everyone has for the arts and culture.
So get your tickets early, folks. The 2023-2024 season is just around the corner. Ryan, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
We'll be back with more on Gros-Siouxland next Saturday morning. Make it a great weekend.